question from Ashok Prabhu. The mind for me is the greatest barrier between myself, soul and the Supreme Soul. I have read and reread many articles on this, but I see conflicting views on this. It is said that if you resist your mind, it will persist. Just like when water in a lake is disturbed, we can't see the bottom clearly. But if we wait till the water settles, we can see the bottom clearly. The same is true for the mind. Let the mind wander in wilderness. Don't say to no it, so say no to it. Otherwise, it will wander more. Wait till it calms down. But the question is, how long should I wait? Then there are thoughts similar to yours which say to train our mind by regularly saying no to resist it. I am confused with this. Please throw some light onto it and help me remove this barrier of mind between me and my true self. Answer: dealing with the mind is like fighting a war. And it is not that in a war at the same strategy will work at all times. So sometimes while dealing with the mind we may neglect it, and other times we may reject or resist it. It will depend on time, place, circumstance. But even in the example that you have quoted about waiting for the water to calm down so that we can see the bottom of the lake, that doesn't mean necessarily letting the mind do what it wants or doing what the mind wants us to do. What that example essentially conveys is that sometimes we are very disturbed by something that has happened and we feel very provoked and we can't reason clearly at that time what we should do. So at that time, better calm down. Better not do anything. Just let things settle down. So now, to let things settle down in such a situation also requires going against the mind. Because sometimes when we are disturbed, the mind may impel us to do not just one thing, but a dozen things. Sometimes the mind may say, oh, that person has done like this, you should retaliate against that person. Or you should make a scheme by which you can bring that person down. Or whatever. So basically, the mind, when we say the mind, our internal perception has become restless like a restless lake, it essentially means that the mind is proposing a dozen things, and as Arjuna says in the first chapter, Bhramati vachame manaha, Bhramati vachame manaha. That when the mind starts going around this and that and this and that, and it doesn't allow us to decide what to do. At that time, it is best to just let things settle down. But even settling down doesn't, as is mistakenly thought over here, mean that let the mind wander in wilderness. No. That is going to agitate the mind itself further. And it's going to agitate our interests further. For example, if I just decide I'm going to retaliate against that person, whoever has done wrong to me, because of which my mind is agitated right now, then I may end up creating more trouble for myself. We're not saying that we should always take passively if any injustices are done to us. But the point is, impulsive reactions are rarely the best actions that we could do. So, even letting things settle down requires some level of resistance to the mind. So, when the mind is in ignorance, influenced by the mode of ignorance, at that time, the mind basically becomes lethargic and indecisive. When the mind is in passion, it becomes very impulsive to do this, do that, quickly. And when the mind is in goodness, it is relatively more stable. And when the mind is in transcendence, it is attached to Krishna, it is active in constant remembrance of Krishna and planning about how to serve Him more and more. So when the mind is affected by ignorance, the strategy may not necessarily be the same as when it is affected by passion. So when we are utterly confused about what to do, at that time it is best to just settle down. And then we can start thinking clearly. So that's what Arjuna did at the start of the Bhagavad Gita. He was so confused, he just didn't know what to do. And he said, I will not fight, let me discuss. He said, I will not fight. And he asked Arjuna, Krishna for guidance, and Krishna gave guidance. So the example of Arjuna at the start of the Bhagavad Gita would be a good example of letting things settle down. Now, if Arjuna had just acted on the level of the mind, letting the mind do what it wants, then he would have immediately gone to the forest, because that was the option that the mind was proposing to him. And he also expresses that option when he says that Guru Nahatva Himahanubhavan. But rather than killing my own spiritual teachers like the gurus, it is better that I bhiksham apiha loke, that I beg and live. So that was what his mind was prompting him, but he didn't do that. So essentially, if the mind is making us indecisive, then it is better to calm down so that the influence of ignorance goes off. Let things settle down. Then maybe internally itself you may get guidance and illumination. So Arjuna had to get the internal guidance, that is, the internal illumination was that let me seek external illumination. Even to arrive at that decision took time for Arjuna, from 1.26 when he starts speaking to 2.7, almost 27 verses when Arjuna's mind is just running like crazy. And finally, he gets that he arrives at the basic decision that let me seek guidance. Now, in the this is how we need to deal with the mind when it is affected by ignorance. That let things settle down and then let a clear course of action emerge. Now, when the mind is affected by the mode of passion, at that time, the mind impels us towards the wrong direction. It's towards lust, towards greed, whatever. So then at that time, we have to firmly resist. That means, no, I will not do this. And then we may have to, as is pointed out in the article, seek shelter in Krishna through studying the philosophy, through calling out his name, through praying to him. But when the mind is passionately moving us in wrong directions, at that time, we surely have to resist it. Now, this doesn't mean that we just have to reject everything that we like to do. There is a difference between passions and inclinations. What could be called in Sanskrit as swabhava and vasana. So swabhava refers to our own nature. So we may be intellectuals, we may be more managerially oriented, we may be more financially oriented, according to Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, whatever the nature might be. So all of us have certain inclinations. Some of us may like reading more, some of us may like socializing more, mixing with others. So we can dovetail these in Krishna's service. So that is not something which we have to give up. We are especially talking about the anarthas. When the mind impels us toward lust, anger, greed, that is when we have to give up. We have to fight it out. And that time we have to resist and reject. So there is the whole concept of dovetailing also. Dovetailing means utilizing in Krishna's service. So, ultimately it is not that we are intellectuals or we are managers or we are businessmen. We are souls as the servants of Krishna. But when we have a particular kind of body and mind, we feel naturally inclined to serve Krishna in particular ways. Or rather, we feel naturally inclined to do certain things, whether service of Krishna is involved or not in it. But if service of Krishna gets involved in it, then we will be ready to serve Krishna also. So if I like to write, and if I am told to write about Krishna, I will happily write about Krishna. Same way, with the different other inclinations that different people may have. So, when the mind has certain inclinations which are dovetailable in Krishna's service, then we don't have to resist them. Then we just have to regulate them so that while doing those inclinations, we don't go outside the safe zone of Krishna consciousness. That means I like to read, but I'll read books about Krishna. I won't just read obscene novels or things like that just because of my hunger for reading. No, I'll keep myself in the safe zone of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, there is no one standard strategy for dealing with the mind, but according to time, place, circumstance. So I gave examples of ignorance, passion and goodness. So ignorance, I said, just calm down. That doesn't mean act according to the mind, but just let the mind's turbulence settle down. In passion, we need to strongly resist. And generally, our vritti, whatever is our steady nature, that to some extent is the effect of goodness. The very fact that stays steadily within us indicates some influence of goodness. So then we can harmonize that nature in Krishna's service. So therefore, if we can find out specific situations where the mind troubles us, and then think about those situations and make out action plans for how to deal with them. Then, later on when the mind troubles us in similar ways, we can use those pre-devised action plans for dealing with the mind. You can read in the article, The Right Service, 5 Reasons for Writing in Devotional Service. So there, I have talked about INT, Introspection and Therapy. So writing a personal diary can help us in coming up with our own strategies for dealing with the mind. And just as a warrior may need an arsenal of weapons, one weapon may not always be enough. So like that, we can devise an arsenal of strategies for dealing with the mind. And then depending on whatever way the mind is troubling us, we can use the appropriate strategy at that particular time. And certainly the idea that letting things wait is not recommended entirely. What waiting means is not just passively waiting while the mind does all its business. It means patiently waiting while devotional service takes its effect. Just as when we go to a doctor and take the medicine, we have done our part in taking the medicine. We are doing our part by avoiding the prohibited items. Then we can wait. That means we need to just be patient to let the medicine take its course and cure us. So similarly, we need to be patient while we are actually practicing devotional service. And we are restraining the mind so that it stays in harmony with the principles of devotional service. If without taking the treatment, we just decide to wait, then our condition will only worsen. And we will be, with respect to the mind, we will be left waiting for the rest of eternity. And so passively waiting is definitely not recommended. But actively waiting means doing our active part in administering the treatment of devotional service and then waiting for the treatment to take its own effect. That is what is required. The utsahan, nishchayat, dhairyat. There is enthusiasm in the practice of devotional service, enthusiasm in taking the treatment, and dhairyat, patience in waiting for the results. That combination will help us to bring the mind under control. Thank you.